A very good afternoon. We'll be studying a new book in the Minor Prophets series today, the book of Zephaniah. But let us first read responsively our text for this afternoon, which is taken from Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. And I shall begin. Verse 1. The word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hizkiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out my hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place and the name of the Kimarims with the priests. And them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, that I will punish the princes and the king's children, and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How, ye inhabitants of Makpesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, all they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Together, therefore their goods shall become a booty and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord of life, our Maker, you are the giver of every good and perfect gift, and we are but stewards put in trust. We seek your instruction this afternoon. Teach us what you will have us to learn today through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. For those of you who are married, how has the way you treat your spouse changed over the years? What is different about your action and attitude today when compared to your attitudes and actions on your first date? We often become comfortable with people we have known for a long time. That comfortableness might lead us to neglect to show them the respect we once did. Similarly, we may become comfortable with God. When we become comfortable with God, the danger is that we risk losing our fear of God. We risk coming to the conclusion that He is okay with our sinful habits. Judah had become comfortable with God in the sense that they failed to fear and respect him. As a result, Zephaniah relayed to them God's judgment. But before we look at the judgment, let us first look at Roman numeral 1, Introduction to Zephaniah. Introduction to Zephaniah. This is in Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1. Letter A, the man. The man. Zephaniah is the only prophet to give a genealogy going back four generations. He was the great-great-grandson of King Hezekiah. Thus, Zephaniah was of royal blood. Zephaniah's branch of the family was not the ruling line, however. He was the son of Cushai. Zephaniah's grandfather was Gedaliah. This was not the Gedaliah who was a governor over Judea for Babylon, since that Gedaliah came on the scene at a later time after Jerusalem had fallen. Since Zephaniah was a member of royalty, his hometown probably was Jerusalem, the capital city. His writings show a good acquaintance with the city. His name means head of the Lord, or he whom Jehovah had hidden. Letter B, his times. His times. Zephaniah ministered in the days of Josiah, a distant relative who traces his line back to Hezekiah through Amon and Manasseh. Manasseh was a son of Hezekiah, who was the wickedest king ever to rule Judah. He had a long reign of 50 years. Manasseh was born to Hezekiah late in Hezekiah's life. Thus, while both Josiah and Zephaniah descended from Hezekiah, and these two lived at the same time, Josiah was in the third generation, while Zephaniah was in the fourth. Josiah began to reign when he was only 8 years old. He was king from 640 BC to 609 BC. In the 18th year of Josiah's reign, 621 BC, the book of the law was found when the king decreed that the temple should be refurbished. The discovery of the law led to a revival. Zephaniah is thought to be primarily responsible for the revival. The revival was mainly an outward revival. King Josiah definitely lived for the Lord, but the common people generally just went along with it. They were not genuinely spiritual. What is missing in a person who follows God outwardly but not inwardly? What is missing? Fear of the Lord. During the days of Zephaniah, the once mighty Assyrian Empire was weakening. The Scythians, a wild mountain people, were getting stronger. Zephaniah used their raids on Judea as a springboard to prophesy about the day of the Lord. Later, in 612 BC, the Scythians joined forces with Babylon and the Medes to overthrow Assyria. Zephaniah most likely was quite young, perhaps in his 20s, when he began to minister. His ministry was probably between 630 BC and 620 BC, since he wrote in the days of Josiah, whose reign commenced in 640 BC. And he prophesied in chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, the downfall of Nineveh, which occurred in 612 BC. Nahum was ending his ministry when Zephaniah came on the scene. Habakkuk was his contemporary. Jeremiah began to minister as Zephaniah was coming to the end of his work. Let's see. His style. His style. Zephaniah's style is apocalyptic and symbolic. The key phrase of the book of Zephaniah is the day of the Lord. He used this phrase and related phrases such as the day and that day about 20 times. His writing is fiery, vigorous, forceful, and direct. His message flowed smoothly from his pen. He paints a clear picture of the day of the Lord than any other prophet. since Zephaniah ministered during the reign of the godly King Josiah, it seems unusual that Zephaniah made no reference to the revival that broke out under this king. Some say that Zephaniah wrote his book before the revival began. Others say Zephaniah did not mention the revival because he felt it was too shallow. Either is possible. Having looked at the man Zephaniah, his times and his style, we are now ready to look at God's judgment on Judah. Roman numeral 2. Judah's coming judgment. Judah's coming judgment. And letter A, judgment on the whole earth. Judgment on the whole earth. Zephaniah's prophecies encompassed the world. He earned the title, the prophet of global judgment. Early in the first chapter, Zephaniah stated that God will consume all things on land, sea, and air, including man, animals, birds, and fish. The judgment is not limited to one nation. Zephaniah wrote of a complete devastation of the earth. Zephaniah chapter 1 verses 2 to 3 reads, "I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord." These verses should affect our desire for things. The fact that everything will eventually be consumed by God should keep us from grasping after things. Based on these verses, we should focus on those things that have eternal consequences, such as witnessing to the lost and living for the Lord. Letter B, judgment on Judah. Judgment on Judah. Zephaniah then became more specific about God's judgment and zeroed in on the sins of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah. Two kinds of sin were mentioned in particular. Number one, the idolatry of Judah. The idolatry of Judah. This is in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Zephaniah spoke out boldly against the false religion taking place in Judah. The Jews were implementing false religious systems in their worship. These included Baal worship from the Canaanites, star worship from the Babylonians, and the worship of Molech, god of the Ammonites. The Baal worshippers feared poverty and a lack of prosperity more than God. Baal means Lord. Baal was considered to be the god of lightning and storm. The Canaanites worshipped him, hoping to appease him and thus get more rain for their crops. Baal worship featured grossly immoral fertility rites. The Kimarims were idolatrous priests appointed by the kings. They were not from the tribe of Levi. Some Jewish people worshipped the stars from the flat roofs of their houses. Josiah's grandfather, wicked King Manasseh, had brought this false worship into Judah. See 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 3 and 5. It was clearly against the revealed word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 19. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 2 to 5 reads, "If there be found among you, within any of the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman, that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God, in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods, and worship them, either the sun or moon or any of the hosts of heaven, which I have not commanded. And if it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquired diligently, and behold, if be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto thy gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. What was God's prescribed punishment for those who worship heavenly bodies? Death by stoning. Interestingly, not that the source is inspired, it's just for your information. Interestingly, the worship of the stars is also clearly against a legend as told by the Palestinian rabbis in the 2nd century. The legend is that when Abraham started on his journeys, cross-reference to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, when Abraham started on his journeys, he saw the stars in the heavens and said, "I will worship the stars." But ere long the stars set, then Abraham saw the constellations, the Pleiades, and the rest of them, and he said, "I will worship the constellations." But the constellations also set. Then Abraham saw the moon sailing high in the heavens, and he said, "I will worship the moon." But the moon also vanished when the season was over. Then Abraham saw the sun in all his majesty, coming out of his chamber like a bridegroom and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. But when the day was spent, he saw the sun sink on the western horizon. Stars, constellations, moon, and sun, all were unworthy of his worship, for all had set and all had disappeared. Then Abraham said, "I will worship God, for he abides forever." The third false system Judah was practicing was worship of Molech. This god, called Malcolm here in chapter 1, verse 5, or Milcom in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 5, was a detestable god of the Ammonites. The idol was built with arms outstretched like the sides of a fireplace and had a grate on which the children were burned alive as an offering. God made man of the dust of the earth, and man makes a god of the dust of the earth, Thomas Watson says. The Bible doesn't give us many details about the worship of Molech, but fear must have played a part in those who killed their children and burned them on the altar to Molech. A high degree of fear of Molech must have been present in those who killed and burned their own children. They feared what Molech might do to them and wanted to appease him. Finally, in verse 6, Zephaniah addressed those who were indifferent. This group had not turned to idols, but they did not worship the Lord either. They were practical atheists. Judgment would fall on them too. Two kinds of sins of Judah were mentioned. The first was the idolatry of Judah. The second was, number two, the social evils of Judah. The social evils of Judah. This is in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 7 to 13. Zephaniah stated that the day of the Lord was at hand. This section deals with the near day of the Lord. This is the Babylonian captivity. The next section, which we will look at next week, concerns the far day of the Lord, which is an end-time event. This is the first of nearly 20 references to the day of the Lord in Zephaniah's book. Zephaniah called for silence in the presence of the Lord God in verse 7. This was a call to respect the Lord. Obviously, Judah had failed to respect and fear God. Verse 7 reads, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, he hath bid his guests." God had prepared a sacrifice, namely Judah and her people. God had invited Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonians as guests to the sacrifice. The sacrifice metaphor in verse 7 helps us see the seriousness of failing to fear God enough to respect and obey his word. Zephaniah specifically pointed out the social evils of Judah. He began with the princes in verse 8. Being of royal blood himself, Zephaniah had intimate knowledge of their pride and sinful ways. The princes are pictured in foreign clothes because they had adopted foreign practices. They catered specifically to Egypt, the nation in whom they trusted for protection. God would also punish those who rushed to plunder others' houses, verse 9. The inhabitants of the market district, Maktesh, in verse 11, the inhabitants of the market district would wail because the merchants would be cut down. This was fulfilled when Nebuchadnezzar took Jerusalem in 586 BC. Speaking for God in verse 12, Zephaniah wrote a picturesque line, "I will search Jerusalem with candles." The Babylonians would search the city so thoroughly that none would escape. God went on to say through Zephaniah that he will punish the men that are settled on their lease. Lease are sediments deposited by wine, the dregs. Lease are sediments deposited by wine, the dregs. To settle on the lease meant to become complacent and satisfied with one's self or conditions. The people of Judah were like wine that had not been poured from vessel to get rid of the bitter impurities that separate from the wine. They had become settled and thereby polluted, and they didn't even know it. Introduction to Zephaniah and Judah's coming judgment. It was reported that during a period of the Japanese occupation in Korea, Christians were faced with a choice. Also acknowledge the Japanese emperor, who was regarded by the Japanese as a god, and compromise with Shinto. If they did, then they would be allowed to continue their work. Many Christians compromised at that time, maintaining that acknowledging the emperor did not prevent them from worshipping the Lord, and that the Lord knew their hearts. But a small band refused to do so and separated from the mainstream. As a result, also, they suffered considerable persecution. Some of their members were imprisoned and others were killed. But compromise was abhorrent to them. Compromise was also abhorrent to our new prophet Zephaniah. Writing in the latter days of the southern kingdom of Judah, which was heading for captivity and destruction, he could see what was happening. And he pinpoints their compromise in those that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm. Verse 5. While in the time of Josiah, there was revival, the putting of an earthly idol alongside of the Lord can never be justified. John warns us, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Temptations to compromise is ever present, especially if we think it will advance God's kingdom. Evangelists compromise with liberals to preach the gospel. Evangelists compromise with ecumenists to preach the gospel. There can be no compromise between God and Malcolm. Verse 7 says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests." God had invited Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonians as guests to the sacrifice of Judah and her people. May this sacrifice metaphor help us see the seriousness of failing to fear God enough to respect and obey his word. Let us pray. All loving Father, you are the joy of living, the fountain of all blessing. We bow before you for guidance and instruction from this afternoon's message. We desire not any grand or luxurious thing after the fashion of the world. We desire only a life of no compromise, where the fear of God, the peace of our Lord Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may always reign supreme. Build us this life, most gracious God. May we find comfort, peace, and joy in the Lord Jesus, in whose blessed name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being with me here this afternoon. Worship has ended. The service has begun. See you next week.